you wish.
Ooh la la.
This episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by Entertain Art. Get official, licensed, and ready-to-hang wall art from Star Wars, Disney, Marvel, and much more. You can go to entertainart.com, or more importantly, go to starwarsreport.com/entertainart. Enter code SWR20 for 20% off. And by Caseable, get handcrafted, beautiful Star Wars-themed cases for your smartphone or mobile device of choice. Go to starwarsreport.com/caseable and use discount code SWR10. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up on the Star Wars Report, Donald Glover. His mom has thoughts on his role as Lando. We'll hear that, as well as, well, live music analysis. Let's do it. If you're looking for a podcast which is going to give you the latest on what you're talking about already as Star Wars fans, because that's what we do, you've come to the right place. It is the Star Wars Report podcast, the most fun hour of Star Wars podcasting this side of the Outer Rim. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad to have you on. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Please delete as appropriate. I'm so excited. Episode 246 starts now. Let's bring him on. He's my good friend and yours, co-host of the very program, Mr. Mark Herleman. What's going on, Mark?
Ooh, word! It's another haunting night here in Grants Pass. Gonna go scare the ghouls and the goblins and lock people in the hallway.
I know. So, how many more of these you got? Because as I'm sure regular listeners know, that you've had to duck out a couple times because of the scheduling. So, which is, I assume, what you're doing tonight, right?
Yes, I will be having to bail out early. We got just this last weekend with this, and then I'll have one more scouting thing the weekend after that. But, yeah, this is the last 3 days where we're going to be almost scaring everybody, running them through and processing them.
Yes. Well, and I'm so excited to have you here. But, yeah, you will have to bail out. Don't let me forget, because I'm always in the middle of the show, and then I forget. Like, Mark actually has other responsibilities, too. So don't let me forget and, like, keep you on too long. And then also, right at the top of the show, I want to say, and welcome to the program. The people on video can already see her right there on the awesome Twitch stream. Sitting at the ivories, ready to tickle them at will, it is my sister, Star Wars Report executive editor, Bethany Blanton. What's going on, Bethany?
My ivories. My beautiful piano. Lovely keyboard that I just got and am incredibly excited about.
Oh,
have all but gone to bed with it. So.
You texted me, I forget at what point, we were like, hey, there's this really nice keyboard that's up for sale. I'm thinking about getting it. You know, Bethany's a prolific musician, has played piano for years, and hasn't as much recently because we don't have one here at the house, but we do now. And literally, like, and so I've now co-opted you and your keyboard, and that's what we're going to do at the back half of the show, is do a full segment analyzing and kind of talking about the upcoming non-John Williams scores, specifically in the context of Michael Giacchino. You can get to, you'll get a taste of some of our analysis of his work and what we think that means for Rogue One. And if you're not familiar with his work, he is one of the foremost proteges of John Williams as far as composers working today. So I'm very excited to really break some of that down at the back half of the show today, and we're going to get to that very soon, of course. All the news that you've come to expect, and all kinds of craziness happening. So let's not delay. Let's get straight into, well, let's get straight into the news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
See, I'm not that big. I'm still not that big of a Disney person. Like, I now understand it. I've been bought into it. I have sold. I have been converted. I do bring all hail to the Great Mouse and what the amazingness that is the Disney theme parks. But I'm still like, I'm not the guy who follows each of these blogs all the time. Like, I'm not a huge Disney parks nerd.
There's a difference. You're a Disneyan instead of a Disney fan.
But not to cashade at anyone. But no, that's true. I'm a Disney. What's a good word? I like, you know, Disneyan kind of works. I'm sort of like I'm a pseudo Disneyan. I'm a Disneyan light, a Disneyan acolyte. There we go. So imagine when I see this brand new tweet sent, this aerial photo that was tweeted out from @UniversalCore, which is one of those park Twitter accounts. It shows this aerial photograph of what was once Disney's Hollywood Studios, just an absolute, you see like green everywhere except for a full third of the park that is totally excavated. They are working very hard on getting Star Wars Land at Disney ready to go. And man, it's feeling real. I kind of forgotten about it. Like it's in the back of my mind, but I don't know. Is this going to be the kind of thing that is going to get the Herleman household to the back to Disneyland or Disney World?
See, we're planning on going to Disney World around 2020. At least that was my wife's plan. And typically when she sets the plans, they actually go forward beyond just the pipe dream. But yeah, I mean, we've always wanted an excuse to get to Disney World. But going back down to Disneyland and having this, I can't wait to get back down. We typically go about every 2 years, every 3 years at the stretch since I've been 33. So three times now. So yeah, I mean, we're about to go back again, except for this next time it's going to be in October. We're going to try to do it for my daughter's birthday. So I'm kind of like, man, can you get this done quick? Cause I'm going to miss my window here and have to wait another year and a half.
Yeah. Because and that's the thing. It'll always be there, but honestly, like, I'm trying to remember who I was talking to about this, but the first year this thing's open, the lines, can you imagine?
Well, I mean, they've already done the stuff with Hyperspace Mountain and things like that. They've had Seasons of the Force. And I mean, will that have changed by the time I get to go? I mean, those are the things about the Disney experience that it's awesome when you can make it, but when you don't have the funds and you're sitting by, you're like, man, I hope that's still there by the time I get there. Like, this looks really exciting. And I've never been able to go to any of the Star Wars weekends. So seeing Mickey dressed up like a Jedi or as a X-Wing pilot or Donald as a stormtrooper and that stuff, it sounds like I'm not ever going to get to see that again. So it's kind of a bummer. So I hope that.
But it's a sacrifice.
Events.
Yeah, but I think, Mark, it's a sacrifice well worth making just looking at this excavation that's going on here. Because, like, if they do this right, which really isn't an if for Disney, they will. It may take them years and millions of dollars, but they will get it right eventually. To immerse yourself in actual, like, the world of Star Wars, not just, even just, like, the character meet and greets they have now. That's
what I'm curious about is like how they plan on doing that with eras. Are they just going to pick one era for the whole park and just go with it? Or are they going to divide the park up by different eras?
I think they'll divide it. I think we'll get different locations, and each location will also represent a different era. So we'll see like Coruscant in the prequels, although we probably won't see that. But I bet we'll see the Cantina of A New Hope. We might see, I mean, there might be an experience that's Old Republic themed. But I imagine it'll be like there will probably be an indoor forest that's set around the time of Return of the Jedi. Like, I think that's the kind of thing. You know, we'll see Hoth set in Empire because you can't – it'd be too limiting, I think, just to have it in one
era. Well, see, I was thinking they would set it in, like, say, the First Order time period because it's the farthest in the future. And then you could do, like, a museum. And you go into the museum, and the museum's all about, you know, this era. And you go into another section to have the other era. And you can have everything like it's all being presented to you like a museum would. But you could have it in-universe, like, versus going to up in Seattle and going up through the music museum they have up there. You could do something like that where it's all in the in-universe thing. You're like in the Coruscant, you know, Museum of Records, learning about the Clone Wars and learning about when the Empire rose and – I don't know. Like that would, to me, would seem like the only logical. If you're going to put it in one timeline and touch them all, it would be in that aspect. Put it the farthest in the future and touch the other ones in a historical fashion.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I can't wait. Once we actually start getting official details, it looks like this is the kind of thing. As they keep building stuff, there's no way to keep it secret. Like, just looking at the satellite imagery. And nowadays with, like, drone technology, you better believe. There's probably going to be,
like, birds, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I get the ones that are big and four motors. You're like, oh, shoot that drone out of the sky. But the ones that look like birds and owls and stuff, there's no way.
Yeah, you got to... This is like a flashback to the news when we were following The Force Awakens, when they had, like... They literally had anti-drone drones. Like, it was drone warfare. But I don't know if you ever followed this, but you remember the Greenham Common shoot in southern England?
Do you remember mine and Mark's entire riff about X-Wing drones?
I remember now.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sure that we're going to see... you know what? I'm willing to bet we'll actually see more, like, spy footage and stuff, because this is Orlando. It's not, like, randomly in southern England somewhere where someone has to figure it out. So I imagine we'll be seeing a lot more of this. And speaking of things we're going to be seeing a lot more of, Donald Glover is embracing is embracing his role as Lando. And in fact, he talked about it on Ellen this week, which is interesting because, you know, how once upon a time they were kind of nervous about getting out too much Episode 8 stuff while Rogue One's going on? And getting out too much Rogue One stuff while Episode 7's going on. They don't seem to care about it with this Han Solo movie. They're already getting excitement out there right now. And we'll start with Donald Glover. Here's a bit of audio of him on the Ellen show this week. Let's take a listen right here. Oh, wait, here we go.
Let me congratulate you. This is huge news, and you're in Star Wars. You're going to be in the next Star Wars.
It's really crazy. I don't know. I'm very, like, honored. Like, it's a very big deal. Like, there's this thing going around on the internet of me in a Star Wars t-shirt when I was in high school. So it's been a long thing.
So that you already were projecting it when you were young?
Yeah, already.
Yeah.
That was the first toy I had, Lando.
Wow.
That was the very first. I remember it, like, yesterday. My dad gave it to me. I had a Darth Vader one, too. I told my dad immediately. Like, I was like, oh, he's like, oh, awesome. My mom was in the back. She was like, don't mess it up. Like, she's like, don't mess this up.
Yeah.
She's like, because Billy Dee is like, that's hers.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a whole different thing. You can't compare yourself to Billy Dee. It's a whole new kind of thing now.
I know.
Yeah.
I have to change.
There he is. There he is. Donald Glover. Donald Glover on getting admonished by his mom now. Now, don't you go messing this up now.
No pressure.
Billy Dee. This kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week, Mark, where, man, is it hard to separate the two? Like, it's going to be, like, we need to start just a running tally on the show of how hard it is to separate Billy Dee from Donald Glover. Specifically, like, it's hard to not just have him, what's the word I'm looking for? You know what? I'll make a bet. I'm willing to say every time Donald Glover is interviewed by any press...
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, he has to talk about Billy Dee Williams, not out of the context, because that's just what you do. It's like they're inseparable.
Well, how much is Aaron Reich? How much is he talking about Harrison Ford, though?
Not as much as Donald Glover talking about Billy Dee, evidently.
That's the weird thing. Is like when I think Billy Dee, though, that is like the big argument that Billy Dee kind of is Lando Calrissian, and I think Donald Glover's got a really good opportunity because he can play Billy Dee playing Lando if he wanted to, or he could just play Lando and play it from the hip. But I think the fact that he looks so uncannily like a young Lando is just going to work in his favor. I think he looks more what I assume that character would look like than Alden does.
Yes.
Well, and it's not just the fact that we associate Billy Dee so much with the character in some ways, and I forget exactly where I read this. I think maybe it was from Aaron Goins. But the character has almost become too much like Billy Dee in Star Wars, where we don't even really think of him as Lando Calrissian. We literally think of Billy Dee Williams.
You truly belong here with us among the clouds.
No, he really played up cheesy in the best way. I mean, I think that's always the aspect of Lando that I always loved, even in Legends, you know, all the Legends books when they played up that angle.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here he goes again. Naming his son Chance, even.
The Lady Luck. Wasn't that the name of his ship? The Lady Luck?
Yes. And in fact, that type of ship's been in the Clone Wars and Rebels already, too.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of Alden Ehrenreich, you mentioned him a second ago, Mark, and he's also in the news. In fact, he was recently interviewed by, you'd never guess the name of the publication, Interview Magazine, where he was asked, you're in London right now, what are you over there for? And his answer was, prep stuff for Star Wars. And he went, so is that going to be shot entirely over there? And Ehrenreich said, actually, I don't know. They shoot Star Wars films in England, but I think there's also going to be, they're going to shoot them in other places. I'm not exactly sure what those locations will be. And then he was asked, what kind of prep are you doing?
Yeah.
Here we go. This is the question Star Wars fans want to know. And he said, quote, well, I had an audition process that went on for a long time. I got to spend a lot of time with the guys that are directing the film. Getting to be around them and being around the world a bit has been the main experience so far. Here we go. I did my audition on the Millennium Falcon for one of my screen tests, which is pretty cool. So, like, can you imagine? You're Phil Lord and Chris Miller. And you're in a conference meeting with Kathleen Kennedy, and you've been going through this stupid audition process for months and months and months. They talked about this on stage at Celebration at the Rogue One panel, and they talked about how long this audition process was, and they kept circling back to Alden, and then they would like audition a bunch more, and then they would circle back to him, and eventually they did. Yes, they did an audition inside the Millennium Falcon. Which, man, like, if you're Kathleen Kennedy and the co-directors of the Han Solo movie want to do auditions inside a Millennium Falcon, by golly, it's gonna happen. And so that's exactly what they did. So can you imagine, like, dude,
don't blow it.
Who else was going up for this role? If I'm Robert Pattinson and I just got to go into the Millennium Falcon just to audition, dude, like my life's, yeah. I'm done. Like, that's fine. I'm fine with the fact if I didn't get the role. I got inside the freaking Millennium Falcon.
I mean, if I was an actor, I would be like, I can interview for that. Oh, I'll like pitch a gender swapped Han Solo and totally interview. Like, I would go to extreme.
Now you're getting into Saturday Night Live territory.
To just be like, I will get inside that Millennium Falcon. I don't even care if I'm in the movie.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I'm just like, now. Is the Millennium Falcon, were they just using that as a prop space for a scene that they created that has nothing to do with the film? Or is it an actual scene from the film? And does that mean that we know that the Falcon is going to be in the film? Because we've heard that it might be about Lando losing the ship to Han. I kind of would hope that it's after the fact, although we could find out this whole time. This is before Han ever even gets the ship, and maybe it's Lando's at this time. And he, you know, maybe they're playing the game of Sabacc in the ship. I mean, we never heard about where the game went down.
Yeah. That's true. True, true. I do want to, but man, now we're talking about the movie that happens after the movie that happens after the movie that's coming out this September. Like, it's insane. It's absolutely nuts. Not to say nothing of whatever the Boba Fett movie or the Yoda standalone movie or whatever these things are.
When did this become a norm for Star Wars fans?
It's still not. I'm still not used to this.
At what point are we going to just, like, take it for granted? Oh, let's do the next Star Wars movie, blah, 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 blah. And the one after that is blah, 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 blah.
Well, we are taking it for granted because most people aren't. Like, most people don't know what Rogue One is. Like, they know there's a new Star Wars movie. I was talking to some... I think it was ROTC cadets, as it often is. These stories keep happening here. I was talking to some freshman and sophomore ROTC cadets who are pretty new in the program.
Was this the race fight we had?
No, this is different. Okay. No, I mentioned that on the show. Yeah, that was a... That was an interesting thing. But this conversation centered on Rogue One, and it was specifically about, I just did a quiz show. I just started my own focus testing group for this podcast, everybody. And that focus group was like, all right, when's the next Star Wars movie coming out? And everybody said this December. I was like, all right, good. What's the name of it? And there was a brief hesitation, but not much. It was like, hey, it's Rogue One. Like, what's it about? And then there was a little bit longer of a hesitation. Someone was like, "Well, it's the next, you know, it's the Death Star, right? It's the, it's where they do and then finally someone spoke up. It's like, yeah, it's where they steal the plans to the Death Star. And I say, well, how's it related to the rest of the Star Wars movies? And there's just this blank stare. So like people, even this crowd, which is kind of right in the target demo, right? The age and the interests that would be interested in this movie anyway, and they'll go see it. But and they know what the film is, and I still think this isn't most people, but at least these young college students knew it, and they knew like what it was about generally, but they still don't know what a standalone is versus a saga film. Mm-hmm. And like if you ask them, hey, when's the next Marvel movie? They'll tell you, well, it's Doctor Strange coming right out next weekend. And if you say, well, hey, how does that relate to the larger Marvel universe? They're like, well, it's probably going to relate to Avengers Infinity War coming 2020. And like, I can bet you way more people have their minds set on Avengers Infinity War than know how these films relate to each other or don't. So I guess that's just a long way of going about to say that, man, they still have work to do on just public knowledge of what a spinoff film is.
Well, it's not just about marketing or communication. It's also about the fact that Marvel first started with character movies, their own essentially standalone films, and then they branched into what we would call more of the franchise films.
Yep.
And so people are used to thinking of Star Wars as a saga, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And so I wonder if after we've had Rogue One and a few other films come out, like 4 years from now, if it'll be a normal concept and everybody will be totally used to the idea of Star Wars having character and standalone films and saga films.
I don't know. Yeah. It's tough to say.
So that's been the hope I've had, because I figure about that time, once Episode 9 comes out and they put the saga to rest, because we don't even really know what they mean by saga in a Star Wars story. I mean, we know that the one's going to deal with the Skywalker family, but at what point does that end? Are they going to end it at 9? Are they going to continue beyond that? Go with another trilogy that moves forward?
Haven't
really told us.
Let's be honest. In the last one, it did have something to do with the Skywalker family for like the last 30 seconds.
We're still wondering what's going on with Rey. So there's a question there too. Like, is this gonna come down the way we think it is?
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think we are beginning to learn a bit more about Rogue One. And if you're following it like we are, now that they have a lot of the talent and creative folks behind the film going out to the interview circuit, they're getting ready to go on late night shows. Guys, we're really getting into 6-7 weeks. Like, it's coming right up, and so we got to be ready. Gareth Edwards actually talked to USA Today about Jyn Erso, which is definitely the centerpiece of the film. And I still feel like there's a lot we don't know about her. And Gareth Edwards does shed some light on her past and how she was raised and the circumstances under which she was raised and how that has an impact on the film. And we're going to tell you all about it right after I tell you about our sponsor for this week's podcast, and that's Entertain Art. In fact, Entertain Art just sent us the package. The package has arrived, and I'm very excited to allow Bethany, if you want to do us the honors, right behind you is the unopened box. So
I'll have to take off these. I won't hear you.
That's okay. While you do that, I'll tell you guys all about Entertain Art, because they do provide officially licensed, ready-to-hang wall art. And, of course, most significant to you guys who are listening to the podcast right now, they have a crap ton of Star Wars merch. Some really cool Rogue One prints too that they've been doing. So that's actually, in fact, that works pretty well. You have the mic picks up the opening pretty well. It's run by a really passionate team of great folks who we've been in touch for quite some time, and they have high quality canvas. They have regular and metallic prints, as well as more than 1,000 designs on the site. So, Bethany, how we doing?
Well, I actually don't know what's in here.
Yes, this is the thing. So Bethany doesn't know what they're sending us. So as you can see, the canvas, we've got a really nice wooden frame here, and it's going to be like a nice reveal. So you'll want to put it like right. Yeah, there we go. That's the spot. If you wanted to step around behind it and do like a grand reveal, then we'll see the awesome things. And while Bethany sets
a panel light.
Yeah, exactly. As we record this right now, actually, they're at Stan Lee's Comic Con. But anyway, I say all that to say, entertainart.com, head to StarWarsReport.com/art, StarWarsReport.com/art, that's our direct link. Go through there, that way they know you came through the Star Wars Report. And if you decide to buy, make sure you check out, again, all their amazing Star Wars artwork, and use discount code SWR20, SWR20, and let's take a look. Oh, it's the Rey! There it is. All right, hang on. I'm going to switch the camera here so that everybody...
That is so excited. Can I have...
She's like, can I have... All right, I'm putting you on full screen, Bethany. Put that nice and back against... right into the center of the frame there, if you would.
Nice.
That would be amazing. All right, hang on. I'm going to get myself out of the way. Look at that.
I got one of those in my daughter's room, but it's one of those hardboard ones.
And what you're seeing here is they've got the hand embellishments in the canvas that it's printed on, so that it's not just like the Force Awakens Rey poster. It's one that's been hand embellished, and it looks great. So again, StarWarsReport.com/art, Entertain Art. We do thank them for supporting this very podcast, and again, use that discount code SWR20, and we thank them for supporting the show. Let's get back to Gareth Edwards and Felicity Jones. So In USA Today, he says, quote, events take place that just shatter her life and send her off. She ends up not the person that she was supposed to be. He goes on to say, even though we're not telling the story of Luke Skywalker, it was important that we capture the same themes and emotion. But the film doesn't unfold how you think. And it's not the same path as Star Wars. Interesting. So,
since though, I mean, Luke's path was a bigger path. I mean, he was out to destroy the Sith. He was out to take down the Empire and bring back hope. Jyn Erso's is a much more simple mission here. She's after some Death Star plans and possibly get her dad out of the Empire's clutches.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's a.
I think she's probably a far more cynical character than Luke, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I think so.
And probably more accomplished too.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. All right, so let me fix our camera shot there. There we go. Absolutely. So we are getting some tidbits, like I say, on Rogue One. Entertainment Weekly has a great new shot of Felicity Jones and of the whole cast, kind of looking super, super somber. But she was also, again, guys, like, this is, there's so much stuff going on here. We don't even have time to cover it all, but
I get that image and I'm like, what are they thinking? And the only thing I could think of at this moment is, what if that's them at the end of the movie getting like the message that the Tantive IV was captured by Lord Vader? You're like, oh,
that would be a shame. All right. So we do have another audio clip. This is Felicity Jones, who's on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And she actually talks a little bit about the Star Wars fan community. This ought to be interesting.
Are you ready? Are you prepared? And are you fully understand? I presume that you do. What is about to happen when the Star Wars Rogue One comes out, that you will probably never sleep again, that you will be surrounded by a horde of nerds everywhere you go from the moment that movie comes out until you die?
Well, I feel like I'm slowly joining the community.
Because, you do.
Yeah. Recently we were... We were sent a box of toy laser guns, which I have to say is the most fun ever.
Are they good?
They're amazing.
Really?
Yeah, incredible, especially when you're at home and you don't have too much to do and you're a bit bored and you can go around. I was with my boyfriend and we were just shooting each other with pretend lasers.
So you guys are turning into nerds as a result.
Absolutely.
Of
that. Absolutely. I'm joining the nerd community. I'm with them.
Yeah.
Well, there we go, Felicity Jones on Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, but what else do you say, right? Like, you're not going to say, well, no, it kind of sucks.
Well, I think it's interesting to me. I think all of these young actors who are coming into these massive franchise films that's nothing like anything they've done before. I mean, we saw it in person where John Boyega and Daisy Ridley, when they were at Celebration in Anaheim, they were just in awe of the fans and the fan community and how many people were there and how excited everybody was. So I think Felicity Jones is getting a taste of that. And then once the actual film comes out itself.
It was so interesting to see her reaction at Celebration Europe, at her kind of debut compared to John Boyega's and Daisy Ridley's and their debut. And it was kind of, it was very similar reaction, but that's kind of same sense of being totally overwhelmed, which is just, it's understandable. Like, it's...
Well, and that's not even a bad thing. It's like, especially in the case of John Boyega, where you could see his total overwhelm was like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's take a listen to a moment that she has from Hollywood Reporter. This is her talking a little bit about keeping Rogue One secrets and the challenges found there. Here we go.
My immediate reaction was that I have to do a hell of a lot of fitness and fight training in order to play this incredible leading character. This is our chance to make a real difference. I cannot reveal anything, and it's so, so difficult to do, especially when you see hardcore fans who are friends and family, and you can just see their eyes lighting up. Obviously, when you're excited about something, you want to talk about it, and you kind of have to do the opposite. But I was very keen to keep hold of my job, so I didn't want to spill the beans to anyone.
That is a good instinct, Felicity Jones. Smart, smart call. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, it's Rogue One is kind of settling in for me a little bit. I feel like, especially as they're hitting the interview circuit, I feel a little bit more Well, just a little bit more.
Well, we've wanted something like what we had with The Force Awakens for this movie. We've wanted it,
and it's
for
just
so
not,
long.
And it can't happen. Like, it can never be what TFA was.
You don't have Harrison Ford making the entire round of everything that's on the internet and television.
Yeah, well, oh, that Harrison Ford Predator.
No, and I was thinking about it, like, you know, TFA was unique, but at the same time, there are enough fans out there that crave only the original trilogy and nothing but the original trilogy. And for them, this is their Force Awakens. You know, my old roommate is the case example. He could care less about The Force Awakens. He still doesn't care, but he wants to watch Rogue One. Because it's set in the era that he believes is Star Wars. I mean, yeah, it's very intellectually dishonest on his part, but there are a contingent of fans that really feel that way. And so for them, this is their time. They're like, this is what I've been waiting for.
It's kind of a new entry point, I guess, is what you're saying, Mark. Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. That's so true. Wow. Too much fun. Too much fun.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. The circle is now complete.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Star Wars Report program, and we're so excited to be having you on board. That's right. We've got a couple things, but Mark, I know you've got to roll out of here soon. So, you know what? Let's do right now. I know it's a little soon. I don't want to jump the gun too fast, but I gotta get your thoughts on what's been going on in the world of bounty hunting.
You learned a lot to me.
Which is why it's time for
As You Wish,
The Princess Bride, where we. I always thought about that. You know, that's the one quote. As you wish. What's funny is that I made this that sound cut.
Oh my god! That like for that
as you wish.
Such a,
it does.
Remember as, when Wesley says that "as you wish" really means "I love you."
Oh, I just always remember him tumbling down the hill as you.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah,
I want like
Fett,
a long extended love story.
S is the Sarlacc.
Well, I just want a long and loving relationship with Darth Vader and Boba Fett. Just like mutual a relationship.
Tumbling into the Sarlacc pit but, as you.
You know, Boba, you only had a father. Well, I only had a mother.
All right. Okay. Yes. I mean, all right, we're stopping.
We're getting to total sordid romance.
Stop it. We're stopping. Everybody stop. We're stop. Okay, all right. I feel like we need a reset.
Now,
ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Boba's Bounty.
As you wish.
Ooh la la.
It didn't help. It didn't.
As you wish.
It didn't.
So I'm gonna
it's a little like the Vader breath
day.
In there. Like the Vader breath is still.
Right. Can there be sexy
Everybody
Vader
stop.
Breathing?
I mean, it depends on. Never mind. All right. So for Star Wars, Boba's Bounty.
So I'm walking to work, Riley, and I had, of course, you know, the advanced copy that I had of Ahsoka. Rereading it again because it was such a good book.
And
I was talking to the manager about the Rogue One poster. I was like, hey, you know, do we know what's coming for the Rogue One stuff? Are we getting some special stuff? And you know, typically, I guess Disney, they don't send out many of like the big poster boards and that kind of stuff with their stuff. They send these vinyl posters. He's like, so we might get one of those. And I was like, ooh. And he's like, don't worry, man. I've already told everybody you're the Star Wars dude. You got dibs. I'm like, I love you.
Nice.
I'm so excited.
All right. Excellent. Well, so do you know that you're going to get one then? So they're the...
Yeah, whatever they're getting, he said, I'll get one of it. So I'm like, yes, it's so awesome. I don't even care what it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, you do know that there are many things that you can count on from us here at the Star Wars Report. One of them is exclusive early information on what Subway will be doing as far as tie-in promotion with the Star Wars movie, thanks to our very own co-host, Mr. Mark Herleman. Yeah, absolutely. That's an excellent, excellent point. I think for Boba's Bounty this week, you know, I haven't. Again, this is the theme from last week. It's been a really, really, really crazy week in the world of Star Wars. But what I want to highlight is something that I've actually been prepping here for the show, what I've been actually working on here in the studio, because it's a constant kind of work in progress. And so literally today I spent a good amount of time. I'm going to actually cut. I'm going to be a little bit risky here and move my camera for those who are watching live. I'm going to point over to the corner where the keyboard is, and you're going to see kind of a cool, it's a little bit herky-jerky on the footage, but and also for the podcast listeners, what you're seeing is the keyboard set up so that Bethany can come in and a nice little bookshelf with some cool Star Wars items, so that's in the other corner of the room. Hang on, wait, let me set this back up, okay, there we go. So what we have like a whole other section for an in-studio guest, which will be, as we finalize this week, Bethany, because we're going to be doing every Friday at 7 p.m., we're going to be doing a special musical edition of Star Wars Tonight. No, we won't be singing the whole podcast, but we will be dissecting elements of the scores of Star Wars video games, the films, and of course, like we did, we're about to do a little bit with Michael Giacchino. So that's my Boba's Bounty moment. Bethany's is desperately rooting through posters right now, and I have a feeling it has something to do with the segment. Bethany, where are we? Shout it out. Bethany.
Mark, cool stuff.
Oh, Bethany. Yeah, Bethany's saying that we have some really cool stuff for you. That we have not had the chance to show. Is this a first-time reveal, or does he know this? I don't know how much...
I texted him teasers.
I don't know what you know or don't know, but for Bethany's Boba's Bounty, Bethany, why don't you let us know what you're doing right over there?
Well, Mark, while we were at New York Comic Con, we got you cool stuff.
Yes, we did.
That's signed by really cool people.
Yes, we did.
And I'm going to show it to you, and I don't have these on, so I can't hear you, but I'm going to show you this. This one.
Yeah, and it's going to be like a 30-second delay on to the Twitch. But go ahead, Bethany.
Signed by Chuck Wendig on this side.
Yeah, we have the after for the podcast listeners. Bethany's holding up a Aftermath poster on one side.
And then Dark Disciple poster on the other, which is signed by Christy Golden.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That is sick.
But poster signed by Timothy Zahn.
Yes.
Would you read the thing at the very top there? What does it say there?
It just says to Mark Timothy Zahn and the date he signed it.
Nice. Oh, sweet.
Right, there we go.
Signs from Zahn. Oh, that's so cool. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Oh God,
Bethany.
Signed by Pablo Hidalgo on one side. For the the visual guide.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, this is for the official Rogue One visual guide signed by Pablo Hidalgo.
Oh, sweet!
Yeah. Mark's shouting a lot right now, Bethany, just so you know.
And then, finally, I think...
What's funny, Bethany,
we got you an exclusive poster of BB-8 from Sphero BB-8.
Yes, from the Sphero booth. Very popular, very hard to get a hold. In fact, the actual founder of the company we interviewed and put him away for us. So, yeah. Bethany was like this, and this is like a Christmas stocking, almost. Yeah. So
this
we don't.
It's called Bethany loves
have a lot.
Giving people things. And
yeah.
Gets way too excited.
Seriously, Bethany
so cool.
And I like I'm a bad friend because Bethany literally coordinated all of those posters except for the Sphero one, and even the Sphero one was she was the one who was like talking to them about how, about getting it. So yeah,
no. You're a hero. I love you so much.
So we wanted you to leave on a nice note because Mark, I think you're right at time, right?
Yeah. Actually, that was perfect. Oh my God, you got me all emotional now.
Oh no,
it's so cool.
I'm glad you're minded. We'll get those.
I'm always so bummed that I can't be there, but I'm so glad that the last two or three events that we've had, there have been so many of the Star Wars Report family there. We've had the other Second Airborne podcasters. We've got our producer. We've got other writers. It's just been great that even though I'm not there, that we've got so much of our community there. That's awesome. And thank you so much for that. I can't wait to get that stuff and put it up. Oh my God.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
And Mark,
but I'm going to go and scare some people now.
Mark, yeah, your facial reactions are a big hit in the chat too. So that's pretty good. All right, man, we will see you very soon. Get out of here. Have a great, great time scaring the poodoo out of people. So we'll see you. Mark Herman can be found at IllogicalRogue2 on Twitter, at IllogicalRogue2. He will be back with us next week, and we're going to get right back to the Star Wars Report in just a moment.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
That's right. It is the Star Wars Report podcast. We carry on with the program by starting off and saying that this episode is also brought to you by Caseable. We're very excited to also be working with Caseable, sponsoring the show this week. They have handcrafted, beautifully made, I'm holding one in my hand right now, Star Wars-themed cases for your mobile device of choice, laptops, tablets, and, of course, smartphones of almost every variety. And what we want you guys to do is to go to StarWarsReport.com/caseable. That's StarWarsReport.com/caseable. Not only can you choose from their wide range of designs, which, of course, as I said, includes Star Wars, you can also customize the cases. And as I said, they're all handcrafted, beautiful, last a long time, great quality. Go to StarWarsReport.com/caseable and use discount code SWR10. That's SWR10 for 10% off StarWarsReport.com/caseable. All right, folks. Michael Giacchino, we're going to dedicate the rest of the program to Mr. one of John Williams' foremost proteges in the world of composition. There's so much that we can say about him, but I'm actually going to just jump straight to he was in the news this week because he was interviewed by the Hollywood Reporter. In fact. There we go. I've got to find him. Here he is. He was interviewed about taking over for Alexandre Desplat for Rogue One. So it's interesting because he's in the midst of the composition right now as we speak. So today's program is a preview. It's a preview of Giacchino and his work that he's getting ready to do with Rogue One. And it's a preview number two for the segment Bethany and I will be doing Fridays on Star Wars Tonight. I've got a really cool announcement for that in just a minute. But let's dig into this interview that Giacchino did with The Hollywood Reporter. He said, quote, "John and I have known each other for a long, long time. And he's always been a great giver of wisdom. He's a great teacher. Even when he's not directly teaching you. Growing up listening to him, he was one of my biggest indirect teachers. Working on this film, I'm constantly reminded that it was Star Wars that pushed me in this direction." And it's so true of so many composers. And not only is there that close tie to John Williams that Giacchino has, there's also the connection that he has with another protege of a Star Wars creator, and that's J.J. Abrams, the protege of Lucas. Because he and Michael Giacchino have a long history working together. That's a name I've worked with for a long time. Going all the way back to the Lost TV show in the earliest days of Giacchino's works. But I most know him for his work in the best Pixar film of all time. Take that, Toy Story fans. And that's Up. Just an absolutely incredible score for one of the most emotional films I've ever seen. So what we're going to do here is actually a little bit experimental. We're just going to kind of, Bethany and I are going to have a discussion about Michael Giacchino and about his work and about what it means now that we have a composer doing a non-Star Wars, saga Star Wars film. Bethany, what are your thoughts on Michael Giacchino once you heard that he was taking over after there was a scheduling issue with Alexandre Desplat? Why do you think he's the guy?
I think Giacchino is a great pick, and honestly, this kind of goes back to stuff that we discussed back in the early Force Awakens days of who should score Star Wars films if John Williams can't or doesn't for whatever reason.
Yeah,
And Giacchino's name always comes up. Basically, no matter who you talk to, Giacchino, possibly Zimmer, although personally I think his style is too different, Harry Gregson-Williams, some of these other big composers, But I honestly think that Giacchino has a sound that's more similar to Williams than most of the other modern composers. And that comes in with the different types of sounds that he can create in music. He can take one theme, like the up theme, and it can be super happy and cheerful, and it's a waltz, and it's beautiful. And then he could turn it kind of sad. Do you have the up theme?
You know, yeah, I'm going to pull that up right now. It'll take me just a second. But that's so true. That's the foundation when we talk about, because we're going to actually go through some specific Giacchino moments. So here's the interesting thing about this score. And that is, let's just dig straight into up. Because before I even play a second of the score, if you remember seeing it, but you don't really remember the score that well, you just remember it kind of being moving. There is this montage with absolutely no dialogue at the very beginning of the film that's kind of considered the standard of kind of setting up and speaking to a level of nostalgia that is done in such a masterful way and has never been done before. And a big part of that is the theme of the film. And so what you'll notice is that there are two notes that absolutely define this theme. They're kind of the root. And it's just literally, Bethany, I bet you know what I'm talking about. Here we go. Yep. Yep. And it's, and it's, there it is. It's just those two notes. Yep. And then there you go into the actual theme itself. And that's one thing that he does so well. Let's take just a brief listen to Married Life. So what you hear are sort of this nostalgia flashback that in the film kind of tells the story of the main two characters, the husband and wife, growing up together, and the really, really sweet love story between the two.
Well, and it's perfect, too, because it's a waltz, and a waltz is meant to be danced more by couples than most other dances. So a waltz is this 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, where you have a couple who are moving together. Which, yes, that describes all dances, but the fact that it is specifically a waltz tune shows that what we're focusing on here is the coupleness of the two of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And what it does so beautifully is towards the end of the song, it just isolates the piano. And you hear the theme just done with just a few notes. And you have those two root keys that you'll hear as it shifts back and forth. Do, do, do. So it's just a very beautiful song. And you might think to yourself, like, how is this similar to something that John Williams does? And the answer is, as a character theme... Wow, so that transition was almost so seamless. I was like, wait, was my phone still playing? And then I realized Bethany was playing the key. It's so seamless that it just defines... It's sort of like... I think, Bethany, you made a good comparison. We were talking about this earlier today. Very similar in some ways to the love theme from Attack of the Clones, because it shifts back and forth in a lilting way from... major to minor, however it starts in minor and goes to major and then back to minor, and you kind of have that sort of lilting shift that is often a pattern with John Williams that I really really have come to appreciate. And then I want to highlight some of, just especially on Spotify, because it tells you, like, some of his most popular work. And one of his most popular works was actually taking over for John Williams in a franchise that redefined all of film score for all time. And that was Jurassic World. In fact, And let's take a brief listen to his score for Jurassic World. Sound familiar? It should.
And I almost think taking over for John Williams in that probably gave him a greater appreciation for Williams' style, too.
I don't like talking over the music now. Like, I'm getting into it. Yeah, it's so true. And it shows his competence in directly taking character themes. But it was an interview this week where he's talking about how excited he is for the world to hear his Jyn Erso theme. So we know, like, floating around out there right now is a Jyn Erso theme, which just makes me super, super excited. And then there's one other piece I think that can help define Michael Giacchino's work, and that is his work with J.J. Abrams in Star Trek, which has a very distinct, in some ways Williams-esque, but in some ways not. Let's take a listen to the main theme from the 2009 Star Trek. Here we go. Bum, 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 bum.
Similar to John Williams. So, like, you can tell when you listen to Hans Zimmer, for example, you can almost tell any Zimmer piece based on the drums.
Yeah, you hear the kettle drums and you know the second.
Yeah.
Hey, that's Hans Zimmer.
Yeah. But even when you listen to the theme, it's just like the straightforwardness of having a very distinct main theme.
Well, and let's talk about that, because that's a problem today. Let's talk about... again, God bless Hans Zimmer. I love some of the music, especially like his Pirates of the Caribbean music, some of the best thematic material. But man, does the guy have a tendency to like just tease you with the character themes. Like, for example,
the entire Dark Knight trilogy was like that.
That's exactly what I was getting towards. Exactly. Because a Star Wars movie, here's the thing, when you're scoring a Star Wars movie, even if it's not a saga film, you have to have definable character themes that come forward in the sound mix and take over a scene. They have to be there. It has to be its own set. So when it comes to scoring Michael Giacchino's work, he is such a great composer for this, because as much as I do like elements of Alexandre Desplat's work, especially in The King's Speech and especially in like the final Harry Potter film, it still kind of follows this trend in cinema music that was covered really well in this viral YouTube video that went out a couple weeks ago about how the Marvel film scores are really safe. Like, they never let the score really take over a moment and breathe. And that's something you have to have with Star Wars. That was something I was a little nervous about with Rogue One. But one thing that Giacchino does well, and I can tell you why,
I will in just a moment. This. So, from The King's Speech.
Yeah.
Hum the main theme.
No! Wait. Give me a second.
I'll give you 5 seconds.
All right, hang on. All right, we got to... No, I'm confusing it with another one.
2 seconds.
Oh, wait, hang on. It's
0 seconds left.
I can't think of it.
This is my point. Because as much as you love music,
I know.
You know the piece that you do remember from it? Beethoven's Symphony.
Yeah.
Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, which is
distinctive.
If we go back to Star Trek, there's such a clear theme. It's.
Yep. Do-bum. I'll do the bass. Dun 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 dun.
Anyway, you get my point. But if you think about that, that sounds similar to what else do we know? The Force theme.
Oh, really? In what way? What do you mean? I can kind of see what you're saying.
I now have the Star Trek theme stuck in my mind.
But you're like the main force, it did. Da, 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 da. Yeah, it does kind of have the. Da, da, da,
in the way that it moves, in the way that it has a very strong
forehand. Wait, so if you were to do it, you could almost do a do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
No, but now I'll go back to the.
It does. It's the same notes, too, if you do it in that key.
Yes.
And then it just kind of drops off slightly differently. But yeah, that's true. That's true. I didn't even think about that. But it is. I can hum the Star Trek theme. I can't hum. If you tell me, I can, because I'm such a music nerd, I can hum the Captain America theme. Dum, da da dum, dum, bum.
Also, we've seen those movies like 3 or 4 times.
And I can hum the Avengers theme, but I could not hum the Thor theme. And I've listened to the Thor soundtrack several times. I could not hum. Any side characters, like if you tell me what to hum Pepper Potts theme, like I have no idea. I'm sure there's probably something in there.
Yeah.
But
even as like people complained about The Force Awakens being subdued, and that's to me that's there are points to that argument, but that's oversimplified. But even you, if I said hum a Rey's theme.
Do 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 do.
And again, it's the same type
do,
of
do, do, do. Which is also very similar to that same pattern. Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And again, it's those same notes.
You could literally do that same chord structure and do... And you could do, like, Ray's theme. You could do Ray's theme, and it would literally... I could go dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun, right behind the Ray's theme, and it would probably work.
And the great thing, too, about both Williams and Giacchino is that they can make those themes sad and slow. They can make those themes happy and fast. They can make those themes ominous. Think about the Emperor's theme. I mean... terrifying male vocals that's just like, you know, stuff of nightmares turned into this happy little children's song in The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? We talked about the failures of Marvel. That's about to turn around because you know what I've been listening to this week, folks? I've been listening to the Doctor Strange soundtrack composed by, funny enough, Michael Giacchino. To the point where I've only listened to it a couple times and I can now hum the theme. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Oh my God. That's literally the same key.
Yeah, it is. What's funny? So, and what this is called Go for Baroque. Baroque, get it? but this is the sort of like weird version of Doctor Strange's theme. But in the track Strange Days Ahead... he actually goes through the whole process of the theme. And you're going to hear, unlike any other Marvel film, pretty much, a distinct theme running throughout the soundtrack, which makes me so excited for Doctor Strange, too. But let's take a brief listen right here to the actual Doctor Strange theme. Here we go. Star Trek-ish right here. And then they go for the big theme. There it is. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Doctor Strange theme. And I can promise you one thing. When you walk out of the movie theater, you'll be humming that.
Well, and also, again, the brilliant thing is, and I'm about to say something that could be a mild spoiler for the movie, but it's in the trailer, and it's like, so if you don't watch trailers, tune out for like 2 minutes, but if you're fine with the initial trailer,
yeah,
we're fine. So, Doctor Strange gets in an accident.
Right. That's like saying Tony Stark doesn't have, you know, Tony Stark's heart isn't fully functional. It's like, okay, all right.
I'm making a little bit of fun, but that theme.
Actually, it's a good instinct. It's a good instinct.
The exact very same thing with, instead of going bum, ba da dum, 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 you could be like, you could use a bell. A piano,
yeah,
or
a harpsichord, as they did with the
or an actual harp, and use
like.
Or you could even turn it into a miter, and you could be like, dun, da, 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 dun, dun, da, dun, and just mix it up.
Yeah.
So I haven't messed with this theme at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to point out the piano keys. You could do some experimentation. But
I will say, I haven't played in 5 years. So this is literally, this is experimenting for a bigger project that we're planning. And you guys are our test subjects.
I was going to say, which is an excellent time to say that... Two things. That is an excellent, excellent point. And I wish we had more time to dig into the details. And we will on Star Wars Tonight. It's a good moment to say that Star Wars Tonight returns today. Well, not today for you guys who are watching live. But as you're listening to the podcast version, you will be able to... sorry.
I know you love that theme.
What was I saying?
Star Wars Tonight.
Oh, Star Wars Tonight. It's on today. We've got Star Wars Tonight every weeknight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This week, we're finalizing our guests, but we've got some really cool ones coming up. And again, every Friday, 7 p.m., Bethany and I will be in studio doing Musical Fridays, where we will break down in greater detail themes from the Star Wars saga, the video games, more stuff on Michael Giacchino, all kinds of great stuff. And so make sure that you're tuning in each and every weeknight, StarWarsReport.com/live. And we're streaming to video on Twitch. So if you're a Twitch user, and if you're not, you should sign up. It's really easy. Make sure you go to twitch.tv/RileyBlanton, R-I-L-E-Y-B-L-A-N-T-O-N, twitch.tv/RileyBlanton, and subscribe. I just click the subscribe button, and that way you'll get a little notification when we go live as well. So,
you know what I would love to do with this too?
And what's that?
What I would love to do with this too is obviously we have some fine tuning because this is again this is kind of like the practice one, the prep before the real deal for Friday nights for Star Wars Tonight. But I like to get a little stand here so that I can put the laptop here.
Yeah.
So I can see the chat comments and incorporate themes.
Oh, absolutely. We'll get that set up as well. Yeah. No, absolutely.
So it'll be very integrative as well.
Yeah. Twitch, we'll be taking – on Fridays will be the day –
get a Twitch account.
Yeah, get a Twitch account. And we'll also be taking calls very soon as well. And that'll be on Fridays as well. So it's going to be sort of like a free-for-all Friday plus the musical segment. It's going to be so much fun. And we've got some great guests who are already willing to come on. We're in the final stages of scheduling the specific days, but expect personalities to return, like Steve Glosson, like Scott Rifen. Mark's going to be on. Bethany's going to be on. You can expect Carl from the Wampa's Lair and Jason, and then, of course, Nathan Butler and some of the other personalities from here on the network, as well as like all kinds of folks. Justin Robert Young is willing to return. I've heard from Amy Ratcliffe. She's going to be returning as well. So there's all kinds of really cool people in the Star Wars podcast and fan community. And I want to make Star Wars Tonight a nightly home for live, a community campfire get together live with video and all kinds of great stuff. So make sure that you join in. And this is only possible. The only way that we're able to dedicate the insane amount of time and money that all of this takes is to the people who are supporting us on Patreon directly. We do appreciate all of our sponsors. That's also really been helping out a lot. But honestly, we couldn't do it mostly without all the folks on Patreon. So if you want to join the team supporting us on Patreon, you can do so. Go to patreon.com/StarWarsReport. I encourage you, I usually don't specifically talk about levels. I just kind of generally say stuff. But this week, I want to specifically highlight the $5 level, because that's the level where we actually offer, we get you in a really awesome Facebook group chat that we have going throughout the week, kind of talking about the current events of Star Wars amongst Bethany and myself and Mark and all the patrons. And also, that's where we get you guys access to the exclusive patron-only RSS feed, where we post bonus content all the time. So if you're interested, you can go pledge at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We have levels from like $1 a month all the way up. So you can check all the things that we offer there. But I really did want to just highlight that and thank everyone that supports this very program directly at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's right. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes an episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Another one's in the can. It's been an absolute humdinger of a show. I just got the funniest look from Bethany. Yes, it has. I can think of no other word to describe how much fun we've been having. To everybody who's joined us in the chat live, thank you so much. Seriously, thank you so much for doing that. And I'm very excited to make one passing announcement. I'm going to do a Twitter giveaway soon, but I'm going to actually give first access to you guys who are listening live and to you guys who are listening to the podcast version through the credits. Because you know what some people do? They're like, oh, yeah, it's facebook.com/Star Wars Report. I know. I'm turning it off. No, no. Mm-mm.
I do that.
Which, and I would, and I understand, because a lot of the plugs are the same. But if you're loyal enough to, and you're listening right now, and you hear the sound of my voice, but then I want you to look over to your left. When you look over to your left, you're going to see some really amazing prizes on display. In fact, they're on the camera. Bethany's pointing at them now. And so this week, I'm very excited that we have a first order 12-inch Hasbro Black Series. Or 6-inch, excuse me. 12-inch, like, that's huge. The 6-inch Black Series first order trooper. And in fact, I believe this is the Snowtrooper variant, or is this the standard variant, Bethany? You'll have to let me know. I'm pretty...
Snowtrooper.
Nice. And so what we're doing is, if you want to do a giveaway, if you want to get access to this giveaway, write an iTunes review. This applies if you already have as well, if you update it. And it's literally all you got to do is go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, leave a review or update your review, and then shoot an email with your iTunes username to StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And then literally... It's a first come, first serve type of basis, and we've got some other secondary prizes as well to the subsequent ones. So, I alluded to this last week, but if you're doing that, that's what I just literally spent the whole post show doing. Literally, Facebook Star Wars Report, Twitter Star Wars Report, StarWarsReport.com/about, and make sure you tune in StarWarsReport.com/live. That's all you need for the plugs. and of course you can follow Bethany on Twitter. It's at Bethany L. Blanton, and I'm at the Riley Guy. And Snapchat and Instagram and all that stuff. But seriously, leave us an iTunes review. We're going to boost that up. Same thing applies to Star Wars Tonight. We're really trying to both get some great giveaways, because we've got all this great stuff to give away, and it's a great way to get the word out about the show.
Are iTunes reviews easy to update? Like, if I go into my iTunes right now,
sure thing,
it'll be pretty clear?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. You just go in, and there you are. And it floats it to the top. So I just wanted to give that option to both new listeners and loyal listeners who've already done so. So there it is. StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. That puts the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Thank you so much for tuning in and supporting the show just by listening to it. We really do appreciate you guys. Thanks again to Mark for hanging out with us. We'll be back next week with more Star Wars Report awesomeness. It is the Star Wars Report podcast, the most fun hour of Star Wars craziness this side of the Outer Rim. I don't know why that just came to me at the beginning of the show, and I'm sticking with it. And remember, many Bothans died.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Was that a Clampett's reference?
It was. Holy cow.
All right, we're done. We're done. We're out of here. So long, folks.
I don't know if you could actually hear the piano coming through on that.
A little bit. Actually, you know what? I feel like I always leave like a second F after the credits roll. I feel like what we need to fade out on something that Bethany plays on the piano.
Anything. Something good or something
anything.
Star Wars, because I haven't practiced the Star Wars.
Before. Anything.
On the other stand, it doesn't actually hold up to the.
We'll have the full setup ready to go this Friday as well. So thanks, guys. Until next time. Nice.